Thank you, Joan. I just love that. We are really blessed. Good morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. A few announcements. Now, Becca has told me that she has some envelopes in the narthex for those of you who would like to use them for offerings until the other ones show up. Bits and pieces is on the website right now, and so until the printed copy, I guess, will come at some point. It is now. Yeah. So it looks like we're in good shape on that. But thank you for the bits and pieces. That's really a wonderful thing. There are always articles in there that are very worthwhile. And so it's a good use of your time to take a few minutes and read through that. Let's see. Today we will have a congregational meeting following our morning worship to present the 2023 budget and also to vote on the changes to pastor's call. And looks like a fairly busy week here. The family night supper Wednesday, January 11th at 6:30 p.m. Covered dish supper downstairs in the fellowship hall, followed by a season of prayer. And then, if you're still hungry, you can come on Saturday morning at 8 a.m., January 14th, and breakfast will be served, followed by a devotion, and Wesley will do that. So, and there's the menu. Looks good. Breakfast casserole, French toast, bacon and sausage, biscuits and gravy, fresh fruit, coffee, milk, and juice. So, and also let's don't forget the Southeast Gwinnett Co-op and all the folks that are in need. And please support that. Please pray for the people that volunteer there and for all the families that are needing just basics. And there are plenty of them out there. Also, the Bible readings for 2023 are available in the narthex. And if you'd like a digital copy, email Becca. So I believe that's all I have. Is there anything else? All right. Well, we are so blessed to have an opportunity to worship the Lord this day and to hear His word proclaimed and to come to His table. And to be fed at His table and nourished and strengthened. We all need that. So I would just suggest that we do the best we can as far as putting all of our worldly thoughts and concerns and cares away and to try to put our full attention and focus on the Lord God and His majesty. And so we are blessed as brothers and sisters in Christ, to come together and do just that. If you will, please turn to hymn number 167 in the green hymnal, When Morning Gilds the Skies, and stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Almighty Heavenly Father, we give You thanks. We give You praise this Sabbath morning. You are good. Your loving kindness is everlasting. By Your eternal power and Your wisdom and Your goodness, You made in the beginning, out of nothing, this world and all things. visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and very good. And you uphold all of these things by your might and your providence. You govern all things. You are an awesome God. And as your people, we are gathered in your house this morning. We thank you for your love toward us. Lord, we praise your name because you are the covenant-keeping God. You remember your covenant forever, ever, and your holy promise, which is sealed by the blood of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that we would worship you this morning with humility and adoration and awe and gratefulness. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. And we pray for any who may be lost, oh God, that need to know you as Lord and Savior, that they would be drawn to you. And Lord, we do pray these things in the great matchless name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn to page 793 in the Green Hymnal to Psalm 27. We'll read that responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall.
Though God besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me,
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling.
He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock.
Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me.
And at his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper.
Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior.
Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me.
Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors.
Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence.
I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. And you may be seated at this time of our worship. Deacons will come forward and receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings. Our Father, we do thank you. We praise your holy name. We thank you for your faithfulness in providing for us day after day and year after year. Lord, we thank you that we can be a part of the furtherance of your kingdom. And through these tithes and offerings, we pray that that would be done, O God, that the nations would know Christ as Lord and King over all. And we thank you for the opportunity to serve. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us join together now in the words of this ancient creed and publicly confess our faith. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And you may be seated.
I'm going to bend down to get something out of my briefcase, so don't panic, okay? I've seen some things over the years with people disappearing behind things, and it might be disconcerting if you're not ready for it. We started a new year. Can you tell? Is there anything different in your heart or in your life or your expectations now because of its being 2023? 2023. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Our understanding of our relationship with God is the most important thing in anybody, any human being's life. Because that is indeed the case, we are encouraged by Scripture that is the case. And then when we start to consider our life and where we belong as compared to where we are, I think it's important for us to remember that we don't belong here. Now, what I mean by that is that the position and the place that we have in the fallen world, it is not our home. Okay? And because it's not our home, it means that we're not supposed to be satisfied here. Now, we certainly have 1,300,082,44 billion blessings. And there are things that we enjoy because of those blessings. But we don't belong here. They are a stopgap measure to where we are. Now, when you get the new bits and pieces and you read my article about the coming year and the other things that Shelley put in there, when she put that together, there is an issue of how we're supposed to live our lives, isn't there? And you remember Francis Schaeffer's big question, how then should we live? So how should we live in a place where we don't belong? That's why the importance of the epistles should be something that is very near and dear to us as children of God. When I was in seminary and we were doing different things, and I was in a prayer meeting one time, and the pastor of the church at the time where we were going was leading prayer meeting and Bible study and stuff, and he asked the people there, if they were going to be stranded on a desert island and they could only choose one book in the Bible to take with you, which one would you choose? Which I thought was pretty fascinating consideration. And, of course, the simplest thing, the easiest thing to say is Psalms, because then you've got 150. But he said, no, that doesn't count. You gotta, if you're going to take a Psalm, just one Psalm, if you're going to take a Psalm, that's a Psalm. Which really is not a book, but that's okay. So I said, well, I think I would take Philippians. And he looked at me like I was crazy. Philippians. But as you look at the book of Philippians, and we just read it, I hope you just read it, right? If you just read it, if you didn't, okay, it's time for you to read Philippians. Psychological and emotional, spiritual underpinning that goes with is in Philippians is phenomenal, and it does things that ask us to do things that only scripturally we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't unction up a positive mental attitude. Okay, can I tell you that? Do you know that? Talk yourself into feeling better. Have you tried it? Well, I have for years. And myself don't believe myself. Which means what? There's got to be an outside influence that causes me than to be able to rejoice. So Paul tells us to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. No matter where you are. If you're in a bad place, how about an island somewhere, right? And you don't belong there. Well, I don't belong here. Do you belong here? Then, if we don't belong here, then how should we live? So let's look at the end of the third chapter of Philippians. You know, and all of the wonderful things that Paul has said before that, because you certainly have read them recently, right? Am I assuming something I shouldn't assume? Oh, you know, the Bible reading is also on here for this coming week. So if you want an electronic one, we'll send it to you, one. If you want me to text it to you, I'll do that too. What? Philippians? Why? Did I say Ephesians? Well, that Ephesians is perfectly fine. That's a great book too. But let's look at it. And this is in our readings, and this is what stood out to me when we were reading this with these verses that we're going to be considering today in this. And listen, about the 17th verse of the third chapter of Philippians. This is God's holy and His inerrant Word. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have that you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. By the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word to us this morning. Now, Wes has preached through Philippians, and I'm sure that you remember those wonderful sermons. And what particularly stood out to me in my heart was this phrase that said, who set their minds on earthly things in the end of the 19th verse. Who set their mind on earthly things. I'm sure that if you're involved with the electronic age and your device that you have that's taken over your soul will send you reports about your screen time and stuff. And mine... this week on my phone said, with a sad face, that my screen time was down, had dropped 82% from the previous week. 82%. Which means that it's tracking 100% of what I'm doing through the course of the day. Understand that? Well, that sounds like God. Isn't that scary? It's always listening to you. That sounds like God. It tracks what you need. It tracks your heartbeat. It tracks your oxygen level. It tracks your psychological, emotional thing. It tell you your carbon footprint. It will do all these things for you, you know, kind of like God. Well, that's kind of scary. And I start thinking, well, now, what is my mind? It's tracking me through the day. What does it say that I'm like? And Paul, in these verses here, tells us, gives us a pattern, shows us how then we are to live in our culture today with the understanding that we don't belong here. Are you satisfied with your life? I hope you are saying no. Satisfaction determines compliance. To sin, I hate to say it. But I want you to think about it. It We hear, we see, we watch, we look, we determine, we live our lives on a daily basis. And what's my mindset on? In the Bible study or in Sunday school this morning, we've gone into the 19th chapter of the Confession talking about the law. And it uses scripture that talks about the folks that practice the law, which I think is a phenomenal reason to put the word practice there, because practice is what we're supposed to be doing. We can't comply with the law 100% because we're still sinners, but we're supposed to practice obedience. We're supposed to practice righteousness. We're supposed to practice and living by doing good deeds as the Lord has determined us to do, the Word tells us, so that even though we are dissatisfied, we can still be faithful by not setting our minds on earthly things. That means that our report from the Holy Spirit every week should be able to be printed out for us saying, well, your time set on earthly things had dropped 82% this week. But what does that mean? Practically, what does that mean when we go through our day that our minds are set on earthly things? Well, they end up being either relationally oriented or event oriented, right? Why do we do the things that we do? When you live your life, if you say, here is my life. Remember that old TV show, This Is Your Life, by whoever the guy's name was, I can't remember his name now. I'm sure Freddie will remember. He always remembers that stuff. And here they spend all this time spreading out this life that this guy lived. Now, how do they know about what this guy is and how he lives his life? Well, by his relationships and the events that are in his life. How he deals with the events with his life, and how he lives relationally with those around him. He's a good guy. He's a bad guy. He's a agnostic. He's a believer. He's an atheist. I'm not going to use that terminology because I don't want to offend anybody. So, how do we then live our lives? What's the pattern that you go after? I learn visually. I learn better visually watching people do stuff. And by watching them, then that's how I pick things up. Right? I've got to see it. I'd love to see it before doing it and figuring it out. Or taking it apart so I can put it back together again that I can't do so well anymore. Instead of reading instructions, I would like rather see it, right? Or tell me about it. Let me hear what that is. Well, what is that supposed to do? It's supposed to point you towards relationships, right? You can't watch somebody unless they realize that you're there with them and you're watching them do it, right? Unless you watch it on YouTube or TV or something like that. The same thing with somebody telling you how to do something. What does Paul say to us in living our life? What does he say? Therefore, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So he says, don't just follow me, look at us. Now, in your life, our life together, do we look at each other's lives and say, I want to do this like X, Y, or Z? And I'm not trying to use modern pronouns, X, Y, and Z. Get it? That was supposed to be a joke. But you understand that we live with each other and we look at each other. And Paul says, look, follow the pattern that you see in us. What pattern do we see when we look at Paul? Can we see a pattern in Paul's life? This is the life of the Apostle Paul. Can we find out what his pattern is? Well, we got it in Acts. We got it in his epistles, don't we? that not only does he tell us about the didactic things of Scripture, in other words, teaching us what it is, but he also shows us how to live. By the way, he went through the situations that he went through in his ministry. Follow my example. So what did Paul do? What did he say? How did he tell us? Well, he's told us, laid out his whole psychological and emotional well-being is there in Scripture, isn't it? Now, he also says that if you follow my example, then there are people that are still following my example too. So you watch them too. Follow us. Do you have any problem in your daily activities that you can't at some particular time during the day, whenever, say, hey, come follow me. Let's do this together. Let's talk about this together. Let's live this way together. Let's involve ourselves with each other. So you understand that how in the world can you follow a pattern if you don't know the people with which you are supposed to follow and to pattern your life after? One of the jokes that goes around with people that do a lot of homeschooling is that they tend to dress the same way, right? Now, that's certainly a false dichotomy, because you can tell when somebody's a pagan, they dress that way, right? You can tell that they are a God denier by the way they dress. You can tell that they love God by the way they dress, because they're concerned about how they look and the pattern that it's showing to other people. So then I look at my life, and Paul says, okay, brethren, join me in following my example. Now, why is that even important in the first place? To take this guy who lived so many hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, now about a couple thousand years now. Has it been that long? No, not quite. 2,000, a little less than 2,000 years, if my math is right. Why should we care anyway, this old Pharisee, this go guy? Yeah, he followed Jesus. He was important. All this, he was a very important historical figure in the life of the church and everything else. But why should I pattern my life after him? And he tells us in these verses why that's so important. So let's look at this. What does he say? For many walk. There are those who don't, who follow the pattern. And who are the people that don't follow the pattern? Because here you have a positive and a negative description of lifestyles of salvation. Okay? But notice how Paul says he doesn't make it sound like it's any kind of a choice, but a lifestyle. Now notice that he's not talking about this is why these people are doing this. This is how they got to where they were. He's saying here are two groups of people. And he says so sadly that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Doesn't say why. It doesn't say how. It doesn't say what they do. But you understand what the word enemy means, right? You know what an enemy is, right? We read in Psalm 27 about enemies of God this morning. And the enemies of Christ and those of God are the same, always the same people. They're always the same people. They never change. Verse 19, whose end is their destruction. They are lost. They are doomed. Whose God is their appetite? Whose glory is in their shame? I heard it said, and I don't know how correct it is. I'm just going to assume that it was a valid assumption made. This is somebody that would study the Greek Empire or the Roman Empire, that one of the signs of the fall of a particular empire is how they raise food to the level of God. I want you to, next time you, if you have a streaming service or whatever it is you look at, DirecTV or Xfinity or whoever you've got, if you've got one, and count how many food shows there are. It's crazy. They've even got one for cookies. And they've got one for bad cookies and good cookies and championship cookies and children cookies and adult cookies and dog cookies. Whose God is their appetite? Whose God is their appetite? Now just think about that for a second. You know what you think you know about God in the Bible, and just put your appetite where God's name is. That the pursuit of any kind of authority, of affirmation, of encouragement, not coming from God, is coming from their appetite. Whose glory is in their shame. We see people like that all the time, bragging, extolling the virtues of things like abortion, and homosexuality, transgender, transhumanism, communism, general law breaking. They are indeed, what are they doing? Their glory is in their shame. Look at these people that say this anyway, you've heard them, right? Who set their minds on earthly things. Now, let me just say just for a second, and we talk about thinking about this, you know what it's like to set a clock, right? Or to set the time on an oven that you purposely start a mark so that you can have something fixed and accomplished according to the time that you set on this device. Now that's what Paul is talking about, setting your mind on earthly things. That the very part of every single day they set their mind to accomplish what they want to do, and they're all on earthly things. Now we can be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good, and I'm not talking about that at all. What I'm talking about is the focus of your mind being set on earthly things. I need this much money. I need this much things. I need this much power. I need this much medicine. I need this much retirement funds. I need this much money in the bank. I need this much love. I need this much... You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if the pursuit of the life of somebody that is an enemy of God is set on earthly things. There is nothing that transfers from earthly to spiritual. Now, you understand that me pushing you to read Scripture is one of the reasons that I'm saying for you to do that. It sets your mind on which things? Earthly things or heavenly thing about increasing in your prayer life. What does it focus your attention on? Heavenly things or earthly things? When you make an effort to worship God, is it hopefully you're here all because of earthly things or heavenly things? Fellowship, relationship do we have together? Is that something that you view as important so that you are participating in it? Are you got your mind on other things that keep you from the fellowship and the relationship you're supposed to be having? Those are the patterns that Paul talks about in terms of earthly versus spiritual. Now, how do we know that? Well, look at what he says about understanding where we are set. Because, dear ones, I want you to hear me here because this is super important in terms of being understand the difference between setting your mind on earthly things and your citizenship is in heaven. You are set in heaven. Your citizenship. Understand? If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, your clock is set, buddy. It's set in heaven. And so your pursuit of those things should be more and more spiritual and heavenly every single year. Is it doing that? And I'm not saying this is what you're supposed to do because I'm a pastor, and the pastors are supposed to say stuff like this. Well, they used to. Now they say other things. But notice what else Paul puts in here. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, are you waiting for the Savior? You know what? I'm astounded. Let me just say this about this spiritual awareness and this attitude that I run across from people who say they're Christians. One of the things that really... I'll just say, it upsets me or concerns me. When I ask a Christian about to recruit somebody, we're just your pastor. How are you doing? How are you doing? And I know you're just, you're just like, how are you? I'm doing good. Are you good? Well, no, I'm great. I'm down. I'm going through some depression right now, and my head, my spiritual life really sucks. Okay, and I'm sorry that I offend somebody, but that's the way it really is. It really is awful. I'm fine. No problems. Everything's doing great. So I'm taking that as a grain of salt when I'm talking to somebody, and they'll say something like, "Well, at least I woke up today. I'm still breathing." It's like, well, man. Wouldn't it? And my response always is, man, I think you're probably better to be with Christ. Yeah, me too, but I want to wait a little bit longer. Guess where their citizenship is? Guess where they're setting their mind? You understand? Those are telltale issues of spiritual reality that demonstrates your citizenship. Is it in heaven or is it on earthly things? Well, I don't want to lose my Camaro. I wonder if I can take that with me. I don't want to lose my Jeep. I don't want to lose my whatever. I mean, I'm having a pretty good time. Overall, my life's pretty good. I don't really have to worry about much of anything. Everything's pretty much taken care of. Yeah, what about your soul? Sounds like not. Why? Because we don't belong here, and you're not supposed to be satisfied here. Now, that's what I get from Scripture. What do you get from Scripture? What is our attitude in Scripture? Let's go to Psalm 73. And let us go. Run through this Psalm. And I mean run. This is one of the greatest Psalms. Well, all Psalms are great. But this is one of the greatest Psalms for me. In so many ways. One was Psalm 91 and Psalm 27 and these things. And what is that set in? It's set in an environment of conflict. Now, why is there an environment of conflict? Because your citizenship is in heaven. Okay, now here's an example. Psalm 73 is a perfect example of that. Surely God is good to Israel. Are you with me? To those who are pure in heart. There's the position. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. They didn't stumble, but it came close to stumbling. My steps almost slipped. Why? For I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Well, dear ones, welcome to the United States, the prosperity of the wicked. If you don't see it, if you don't feel it, if it doesn't grieve you, as Paul says, it causes you to weep, to see all the evil and the lies and all the stuff that is constantly bombarding you every single day from every institution that you used to be able to support, then maybe your citizenship isn't in heaven. Because, dear ones, my feet almost slipped because I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now look at the warped description that this malformed view of the world takes shape, and he describes it. Listen to how he defines the arrogant and the wicked. There is no pain in their death, and their body is fat. That means they're prosperous. In the Old Testament, the word fat stood for prosperity. We got a lot of prosperous people around. They are not in trouble as other men, Hunter Biden, nor are they plagued like mankind. And the list grows longer, doesn't it? Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. The reason there's a war in that place over there, Ukraine, is because you have a state. Their eye bulges with fatness, just total immersion in pleasure seeking. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. You know, things like censoring Twitter and Facebook, and that's it. Understand? They speak from on high. We'll tell you what to think. We'll tell you what to say. We'll tell you how much it's going to cost, and you're going to take it and like it. The new thing now is you're not going to, by 2035, you're going to own nothing and be happy. They have set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore, their people return to this place. Waters of abundance are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge of with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked. They always are at ease. They're increased in wealth. Yeah. Boy, is he messed up somewhere. What's he messed up? He's got his mind set on earthly things and not on heavenly things. And he says so right here. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. In other words, he went to bed thinking about it. He woke up thinking about it. He was being harassed all day long because of it. And he said, if I speak this, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. So the Holy Spirit's already in there saying, hey, dummy, your thought life is messed up. Hey, man, are you really painting a picture that isn't right? What's your problem? Don't you see what's going on? Do you see that? Do you see the conflict? If I said this, if I stood up before you and preached a sermon on my psychological well-being, if I said this, I would be doing exactly what the psalmist says, that if he had speak thus, he would betray the children of God. Because I'm not telling you the truth. Job's three comforters, that was what their problem was. They didn't speak rightly about God. That's what God told them, right? Verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered all this, it was troublesome in my sight. he's a little bit upset. He's a little bit off kilter. He ain't really right. He's got a serious moral issue. God, why is this happening? God, why are they getting away with it? God, they are getting richer by the minute. They are getting richer by the day. They are getting richer by the hour. The billions of money that we send overseas, you know how much actually gets there before it gets back to the parties? The medicines that you take are there for your own good, your healing, or for the pharma's budget, for their bottom line. We'll just read the new stuff about the new abortion pill that CVS and Walgreens are going to be selling. It's just as dangerous to the mother as it is to the child. If killing the child wasn't bad enough. But behold, I pondered. Now look at this, and look at verse 17. All that was going through, have you been there? Are you frustrated? Are you ticked? Are you discouraged? Are you depressed? Like me, all the above. But why? Why do I feel that way? What's the problem? My mind is set on earthly things. How do I know? Because look at verse 17. He was like that until what? Until I came into the sanctuary of God. And then what was the answer? Then I perceived their end. Well, what's the issue in life? Is your end, right? We're all going to die. I don't want to die. Well, there's an answer for that. You want the answer? Not if I have to, only if I can make deal with God. Yep, that's going to work well. No, it's not. What does it mean then to be a successful person in Scripture? To love Christ, to be powerful in His might, and to be attacked. That's it. Are you being attacked? Maybe your mind is being set on earthly things. Do you want to be attacked? No. Do you want to follow Paul's example? See, maybe we should ask that question. Do you want to follow Paul's example? I pondered to understand this. It was troublesome, verse 17, till I came to the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. What does that mean? They are not secure. How they are destroyed in a moment and utterly swept away in sudden terrors. Their life is transitory. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. Or their image, which is something amazing to say about God in His creation. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, what was I really like? When I was depressed, discouraged, downhearted, downcast, it just plain gripe city and whining and moaning. Well, when my heart was embittered and was pierced within, then I was a senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. When you get into one of those grand mal blue funks like I get into, or when you get discouraged or you want to ask God why, the problem is not God. The problem is where your mind is set. Does that make sense to you? Lord, I was a senseless beast. It's like that. I use this illustration. We talk about this all the time. Remember that old commercial? The old shaver pin commercial where the guy slaps himself and he says, oh, gosh, thanks. I needed that. Well, that's what just happened to this guy. The Lord just slapped me up yet a couple of times. Oh, thank you, Lord. I needed that. But now look, here is his understanding, because we've got influences of the Holy Spirit in his life all the way through it. Even though he was a depressed person at this particular point, the Lord was still with him because he said, my foot almost slipped. Right? And look at this, verse 23. Nevertheless, even though I was a brute beast before you, I am continually with you. Look how the pronouns change from I to now you. But my heart was embittered. I was pierced within. I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel you guide me. Afterward you receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of your works. Follow my example, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, as I follow the example of Christ. Great psalm. Use it a lot. I hope you do when you need it next time, if you don't already do that. The glorious riches that we have. But look, we're not done. One more thing. Verse 21. Waiting for the Savior to come. Eagerly waiting for the Savior to come. I've been criticized a number of times for saying that too much and causing people false hope, saying that they're going to do it. Now they're going to quit working and doing stuff for the Lord because they're eagerly waiting for the imminent return of Christ. And yet Scripture preaches on what? The imminent return of Christ and eagerly waiting. Are you eagerly awaiting Christ? That's another indicator of your mind and where it's set. Who will transform the body of our humble state in conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. We will have our glorified bodies when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. He will give us our body so that we can live where we belong before Him. Now, are those things worthy of setting your mind on? Because that's part of the pattern. How am I setting my mind each day? Am I setting it on earthly things? Or am I setting it on heavenly things? Because I belong in heaven. I belong not on this present fallen earth. We will be back to earth. We're not going to stay for eternity in heaven. We're coming back to live on earth, right? You remember? Heaven is just a way stop, lest the Lord tarry before He takes us home and comes back and renews the earth. And that's where we're going to live. But in the meantime, what are you thinking about? Your citizenship is in heaven. I never will forget the illustration. My mother told me the first time she went overseas and she got off the plane. They went to London and they got off the plane and they had nationals and they had aliens. And she had to stop and say, wait a minute, I'm not a national anymore. I'm an alien. I'm an alien where I was. And the Lord says that we are what? Aliens and strangers. Do you have a flying saucer? Alien? The answer is yes, you do. Aliens and strangers, and we're just passing through. Do you feel passed through? Or you feel like somebody submitted your butt to the floor? You understand this attitude of understanding your position because of Christ's work in your behalf is eternally important for you. Not only in your future life, but in your present life, because the Lord God in His Scripture tells us to focus on today. Not yesterday, but today. And our hope for tomorrow. So, when you go through your day to day, are you doing it as today is the day that the Lord has made? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because we can rejoice for the next day unless you go to bed wounded with your brain, whining, crying about the things that you can't do anything about that are natural because people are evil and evil's in this world and evil's in control of the world, but Christ comes back and fixes it. How then should we live? Follow Paul's pattern. What is that? What's the pattern? That you walk what he did. Well, what did he do? He set his mind on our heavenly things, not on earthly things. That means relationships around us. The people that we love and that we're close to, where do they stand in with Christ? Because they're either going to be enemies of Christ or they're going to be with Christ. There is no gray area. There's no in-between. There is no, what do you call those people? Not arbitrary, that are neutral. There is no neutral moral agent waiting to decide which way they're going to teeter back and forth. As we've seen in these words from Paul. So my life today, right now, 2023, what's going to happen today? My earthly mind says, man, I got all these worst case scenarios because I'm a worst case scenario person. And the Lord's got all this positive case scenario being used by Him for His glory. To do things for others instead of myself. To watch the manifestation of His works, like it says at the end of Psalm 73. I will tell of your works. Well, what did you do lately? I turned the TV 3 times and I went out the garbage and I went to the store and I went to Walmart and got to go to Walmart and went to the doctor because I got to go to the doctor. I went to the wherever, right? Well, why? Well, because I want to do this, this, and this, and this. Well, what does God want you to do? God wants you to do this, 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 and this, but all this is the same, this, 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 and this. Not if your mind is set on earthly things. Right? The glorious riches that we have in Christ Jesus are the things that the Lord God says He gives to us by faith when we participate in this communion. That it is something that cannot be substituted. It's there. He's given it for those who belong to Him. And it's there for a reason. Because we need it till He comes again. Therefore, participating in it is vitally important to your mindset. Praying. It's vitally important to your mindset. Studying the Bible is painfully important to your mindset. Worship, fellowship, mindset. Understand? So, look at. Let me do some shaming. It's not good to shame people, is it? All right, you got your first chance on our family breakfast. Right? How important is it to you to move some of your other scheduling in order to do it, or if it fits into your schedule, you'll come, or when something else comes up, any excuse is a good excuse when there's something you don't want to do. Do you look at it as a responsibility? The session says we need to do this. Do you believe the session? Do you need to believe it? Should you do it? Should you be involved in it? What's the answer? Everybody will say, shake your head this way. Everybody says yes. Is everybody going to be here? Nope, I can tell you right now it won't. What's going to happen? Well, they're going to get sick. Somebody's going to die in the family. Something big's going to come up. And then you're going to have an ingrown toenail or you get up burping wrong or something and decide that you want to do something else. You got to go to Walmart. Okay? And shall I even say your job? Do you use that as an excuse for not doing the things that God wants you to do? Maybe your mindset is in earth and not in heaven. What's more important to you? Because see, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? What's the most important thing in your life? In 2023, it's Walmart. So let me encourage you, encourage us. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us, for many walk otherwise. And you know the difference. So therefore, walk according to the pattern that we've given to you. That is a great New Year's revolution. Could be a revolution in your life. Resolution, right? Isn't it great that the Lord God has got all these psychological and emotional things covered in His Word? And if you really want to be serious about dealing with them, then He tells you how to deal with them. You want to deal with them? See, that's always the issue again. Well, there's a way to deal with that too. That's confessing your sinfulness before the Lord God, in order to be ready to partake of the glorious riches that Christ has given to us in His Holy Communion, a communion that we enjoy, thankfully, twice a month, and one that I hope that you never get tired of partaking of because of the significance that it represents in your growth in Christ, but also in your union with others, because you can't do this by yourself. That's one of the things that the Reformers really pushed. And in terms of the sacraments, was a private communion that they used to give. Well, we're not ever supposed to do that, private communion. It's supposed to be public proclamation of the importance and of the ordinance and the preaching and worshiping of God before we partake of it together with Him, because it's meant for the whole body of Christ, not just a special ordinance for a special person. It's of the body of Christ. And you're participating in it. So that as we do that, it should be painfully obvious, even as we've read Psalm 73, that you should have some earthly crud you need to get rid of this morning. So let's use this corporate confession of sin to ask the Lord God to forgive us. If you're a mind to, you've heard these things for years, same sins, unfortunately. Wouldn't it be interesting if there were different sins that we had to confess, like different colors of a car? You know, I got blue sins today, got red sins, got yellow sins, I've got camo sins. I got a lot that we need to ask forgiveness for. So let's go before the Lord, shall we? Father, as we bow to you this morning, we are aware of your love and your faithfulness to us that we do not deserve. And the glorious riches you've given to us in Christ Jesus is to know about you and Him. But also, Father, the power of your presence within us that causes our heart to be conflicted when we have our mind set on earthly things instead of heavenly things. And we are guilty, Father, of that. And would ask that you hear us now as we, your people, that you have made yours, confess to you, Father, our sins. Almighty God, rich in mercy to those who call upon you, hear us as we come to you, humbly confessing our sins and imploring your mercy and forgiveness. We have broken your holy laws by our deeds, by our words, by the sinful affections of our hearts. We confess before you our disobedience and ingratitude, our pride and willfulness, all our failures and shortcomings toward you and toward our fellow man. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, and that your great goodness grant that we may hereafter serve and please you in newness of life through the merit and the mediation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, we humbly ask that these things were washed through our hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit that has convicted us of these sins, ergo our confession, and that indeed they pass through our dirty heart, that we are relying upon Your faithfulness to cleanse us, Father, from our unrighteousness and make us whole. You have promised to forgive us, place our sins as far as the east is from the west, restore unto us, Father, the joy of our salvation, renew a right spirit within us, that we may, Father, set our mind on heavenly things. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Dear one, this great supper we have before us, you have heard any number of times, and I have threatened to go back and try to count all those times that we've done this, and that you've heard these things. And yet, are they near and dear enough to us to be able to rehearse together the fact that Christ is the bread of life, that Christ is the one who loves us with everlasting love, the God Christ who loves us and has promised us that He is going to come again, the God who has promised indeed to listen to our prayers and to be with us as we go through each and every day of our union with Him as each other and members of His mystical bodies, and the pledge that He's indeed coming back again. We've heard those great benefits in this communion. Again, let me remind you what Paul tells us in Ephesians, seeing therefore the great benefits that Christ has given to us or prepared for us in this communion. Let us bow our knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that He would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, ascertain with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And this always gets me, that we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly far above all that we can ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, unto Him be the glory in the church through Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. As the session comes forward and uncovers the communion table for our participation, let's stand together and sing hymn number 427, "Amidst Us Our Beloved Stands." Do you believe that Christ is in our midst right now? Do you ascertain the power of His presence? Is your mind set on that presence? Let's stand and sing, shall we? Thank you. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul has stated to us in his faithfulness and consistency with the ministry that the Lord God gave to him. He says, "For I received from the Lord, I pass on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is My body which is for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you drink this bread, eat this bread, or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread or drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself." Let's pray, shall we? Father Almighty, as we again bow before You and take advantage of the very things that You tell us that You would have us to enjoy, that You have prepared for our benefit, we would ask, Father, and that we would place ourselves again before You, asking that You would set aside these elements from the holy use that You have determined them to be from their ordinary use. We also would ask, Father, that as we bow before You this morning, that our minds would be set on heavenly things, that our citizenship is in heaven with You, and that we, Father, are willing and living sacrifices before You as we present ourselves again to You this morning. Thank You for this day, for our time together, for Your love and faithfulness. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. The Lord Jesus took the bread and broke it, as been done in His name, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "This bread is My body. Take, eat, it is for you." Loved ones are with the Lord now. Hebrews tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses around us, watching us. As we think about our daily conscious awareness of our spiritual environment, And may we realize that there are eyes watching that we can yet see. Yet one day those eyes will be revealed. In the meantime, the Lord tells us that He is always with us. He is always with us. And besides that, He's always with us. That He tells us that if we eat and receive this by faith, that we'll be filled and strengthened and encouraged spiritually. Eat and be filled. In the same way, our Lord Jesus took the cup, blessed it as been done in His name. Giving it to His disciples, He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink you all of it." These things that we are able to do, encouraged and taught to us in Scripture about the requirements that the Lord has for us as His children, to faithfully obey and be obedient to His revealed will, to be satisfied in rejoicing at His providential will, to promise to feed, guide us, and keep us because of what this represents in our eternity. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on your behalf that seals you to eternal life, but also your citizenship in heaven. Drink. And be thankful. As we close our time together and have a closing prayer, it will be the opening prayer also of our congregational meeting. And so if you'll turn to 585, we'll sing that as we close, and then I'll have a closing and opening prayer, and we'll, and while we're singing, if y'all cover the table again. So let's stand and sing hymn number 585. This is also a response, right, to what we talked about this morning. Father, as we close our time of worship before you, we would also ask, Father, that you would be with us as we have a congregational meeting and ask for your wisdom, your care, and your action as we determine the things, Father, that you would have us to be as we use our resources and time for your glory. We give you thanks for your many blessings that this represents to us this coming year. And ask that you would be honored and glorified, Father, as we go through this year, 2023. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And we've got two reasons to have the meeting today. One is the presentation of the 2023 budget. And also then for you to vote on the change of my call. The first thing we need to do is to make sure we have a quorum. So I'll ask the clerk, do we have a quorum? Quorum is present. Next thing we need to do is to elect a secretary to take the minutes. To take the minutes of the congregational meeting, and I'll open the floor for nominations. It will then be at the moderator's. Jerry Jones, who just is about to not quite yet turn 50. Is there a second? There's a second? Any other denominations? Any other nominations? Do I hear a motion to close the nomination? second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All in favor of Mr. Jones being our secretary for this congregational meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I don't know what my words today. All opposed? Then I would declare that Mr. Jones has been elected as our secretary for our meeting. I'm going to turn the meeting over to Wes to present both the budget for 2023 and then also to present the motion for the change of my call. And then when we get done, we'll close it. So go ahead, Wesley. That's fine.
You see there in your budget there, you look down to Kyle Lamont's pastor.
I'm going to be back here while they're talking about my call.
The call of the pastor is the means by which the church is conversing with the pastor.
Thank you.
listed down there below our missions commitments as they go 2,000.